absence.
Was it 2 weeks?
Came Inside Out.
That's right, because before that there was a long absence. We sort of came back and then
we did a few
disappeared
weeks,
again.
And then we
a few,
back.
Was it a few weeks?
Yeah.
Who knows?
You know,
I don't know. It was like January 8th, and then it was it was very few.
Yeah. No, we were asked here on the 15th. So.
Right, but we hadn't been here before then.
That's right.
So
you're off 2 weeks,
right.
Come back.
I don't mind. I don't mind.
All right.
Okay, so.
Well, anyway, we're Cambridge Inside Out, and I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And let's see, so I think maybe an appropriate thing to do is to sort of have a little hilarity about what went on last night.
Well, hilarity? I mean, some things
are.
Take it a little more seriously.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I mean, it was considered an emergency.
You know, that's
especially with everyone talking about
national. What's the context? Yeah. The context is that though there was an agenda for the city council meeting that included quite a few items, the one item that really drew the crowds was a proposed moratorium on cutting trees over a certain minimum. I think it was an 8-inch diameter at breast height.
A significant tree.
Right, but you have to define it. So they say it's more than 8 inches. Right?
8 inches above, measuring it 4 feet above before you measure the diameter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the background was, I believe it was last June, could have happened earlier, I'm not sure, there was a proposal to amend the existing tree ordinance, which there's some regulation of trees. I'm not quite sure.
It's called tree protection.
Yeah, I don't remember what all the details of the original one were, but the thing is, what was proposed was a permitting process so that if you wanted to remove a significant tree on even your own private property as a homeowner or a commercial property owner, what have you, you had to first sort of go to the city arborist and say, well, this is my intention, this is my rationale, and then the arborist would sort of maybe talk you out of it, maybe not, but then ultimately, you know, if it was clear that you had a, you know, dead, damaged, or diseased tree, then, you know, dangerous. I think the three key words, the three D's were dead, dead, diseased, or dangerous.
Yeah.
Right? Then it would be presumed that you would get approval from the arborist, and then you could just proceed, right? In fact, I don't even know that there was any talk about a permitting fee or
dead, diseased, or dangerous, right?
Right. So that's what was proposed, and I think the chairs of the ordinance committee kind of kicked the can down the road a little bit, but they did come around on January 9th and had a hearing on that proposal,
which I watched. So I don't remember. Yeah.
And I believe that
televised.
Was also the one where that there was that newspaper that was published.
Oh, had that just come out before?
Well, that newspaper, which I think I have a copy here.
Yeah.
This one here.
Right.
Tree canopy collapsing actually advertised out on the front page asking people to come to that hearing.
Right. So it was pretty packed. So I mean, I watched it because it was televised.
Right.
So.
You know, but for a, you know, but let's also keep in mind this was a citywide mailing to, I think it was like every household in the city.
Everybody got it.
Yeah. So there was a lot of effort to try and bring people out to that thing. Now, one thing that was not a part of that hearing was any proposal for an absolute rigid moratorium on.
So that wasn't mentioned at all? I don't remember.
It
or
was
even
not
in public comment?
It was
maybe
part
in
of public comment, but it
but
was not
as part
of the call of the meeting.
I see what you're saying, which is the crux of the matter.
This is a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the you know, they had the hearing, you know, and in fact for the meeting last night, the committee report
was available.
And in it it had not only the original proposal, but there was an amendment or two that had been made during the committee meeting, which did not include a moratorium.
Okay.
And then, in sync with that, Councillor Zondervan and was it Zondervan
Devereaux Carlong?
Was it that or was it Kelly? I think it might have been.
Oh, Kelly was actually part of it. Yes.
Yeah.
It was Kelly.
So
yeah.
They came in with order number 7.
Right.
And that's really what brought out the crowd.
Right.
And it was a specific, it was a, I think, was it a 12-month moratorium?
1 year,
on any tree cutting over a certain scale.
I thought it was 6 months, but this says 1 year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they changed it.
Anything over about an 8-inch caliper. But that wasn't all. In fact, I should have done my homework a little bit better because I didn't read all the fine print of the detail.
Yeah.
It was not only a moratorium. But it actually said, if you were to violate this, you would have to pay money into a tree replacement fund.
Wait, that's not in the order, though, is it? I'm looking at the language.
Yeah.
This order 7?
Yep. And you would be faced with a, get this,
$300
per day fine for if you were out of compliance.
Right.
Right? In other words, if you illegally, under this proposed moratorium, were to cut down a tree, then as soon as it's detected, then the
clock $300 a day.
$300 a day, tick, 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 until you cough up the money. And in some respects, the for a significant tree might be on the order of $10,000.
Right.
Right?
There was some figure that Owen gave with...
Yeah, it's just a lot of money. I think the Public Works Commissioner was, Reardon was pointing out what it cost the city to plant a, just like an 8-inch or an 18-inch caliper.
He made some figure, like 1 inch equals $20, and 8 inches would be, I forget, it was like, it could add up.
I think he put it some estimate of, actually I wrote it down somewhere,
I have a hard time finding it.
But it was, it's pretty serious money.
1 inch tree is $800.
Something like that. A sapling, though.
I mean, 20-inch, $14,000 to $16,000 a tree to remove.
Right. Okay, so the thing is, is that, so this led to a bit of discussion, shall we say, at the council meeting, where, you know, the alarmist wing of the city council, which is, you know, councilors Devereaux and Zondervan and maybe others, we'll see, pretty much were trying to make the case that this was an absolute emergency, that we had to stop all tree cutting cold right now, or, you know, planets would collapse and continents collide, et cetera, et cetera. So, so anyway, that was the sort of the context for all of this. And but it was pointed out correctly, I think, by Mayor McGovern, but not only by Mayor McGovern.
And then didn't Craig Kelly actually agree in the end to
Yes. That in fact, even if you agreed that a moratorium was called for.
And necessary.
Right. Whether it would have been amended or otherwise. Even if you believed in that, then in fact, this proposed moratorium didn't even come close to meeting the legal requirements.
Meaning it didn't have the hearing.
Well, as a proposed ordinance, and an ordinance of some, this is not sort of a, you know, don't spit on the sidewalk scale.
It's got serious financial
implications.
Yeah.
And that there was absolutely zero public notice for it. And then it was pointed out by, I think it was Zondervan and Devereaux, that, oh, no, this was discussed. It was discussed at the committee. And then, I think it was Councillor Mallon as well as the Mayor McGovern pointed out. I said, well, the fact that it was discussed at a meeting where, in fact, the primary people who came to that meeting were these guys.
Yeah.
That is not the same as having a proper public hearing where the public is invited to discuss and maybe,
I mean, it is true that if everybody got that copy of the paper, it means everybody, no matter what, got that. So they would have known that this is a concern in the city, but it doesn't say anything about moratorium, does it?
Well, I mean,
actually, it does say call for moratorium.
Right, but this is not an official city publication.
And it also doesn't have financial information in there,
at
does
all.
It?
Right. All it is one individual writing a thing called call for moratorium labeled under opinion.
So basically, it has to have a proper hearing.
Yeah, any proposed one does, and in fact, it has to not only have a proper hearing, then it has to be passed to a second reading,
right,
and then it has to lay on the table for the requisite time. It has to get advertised in a paper of general circulation.
So
none of that happened.
Right. So that does have to happen.
Four city councilors believed that they didn't have to do any of that.
Well, was it that, or that they felt that? They were voting more. They knew they. Well, I don't know.
No.
Is that what they're really voting for? If it had gone the other way, say they had been 5-4, what would that mean that this could go through then?
Well, I mean, what happened was, there were actually two votes.
That's what I'm asking about. Yeah, the two votes.
There were two votes. So the one vote was to pass the previous not so draconian measure that was part of the committee meeting.
So the tree ordinance language.
Hearing.
Right, okay.
And to pass that to a second reading.
Oh, okay.
So that it would be in, as amended, so it would be in the queue for possible ordination a couple weeks from now. Okay? So they did pass that. But the thing is, it was order number 7, which was very, which had never got a public hearing. That was the one that some councillors wanted
to just So they wanted to be further. The order 7 was further amending the committee report.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. Okay, and that's the one where they included the moratorium.
You know, and the thing is I don't think I don't think there would be too much objection if somebody did a minor, relatively inconsequential amendment on the floor when something was being passed to a second reading, you know. It's like, you know, fix a typo or maybe even something more substantial.
But this is a major...
This is a whole nother thing. And in fact, if you read the committee report,
even Councillor
Zondervan says, that's a whole nother thing. Yet on the city council floor, then he says, oh, no. Now it's
well, I think that the emotion of it was, the side of it was that while we're discussing all this, people are going to go in before this ordinance and knock down all the trees, which, you know, I sort of understand that
understand
feeling.
It, but there's absolutely no evidence to support that that's what's happening. I mean,
Well, I don't know. What's the thing about the 11 trees? Do you know any more information about that?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, okay. But even that brings up another issue, too, which
that's a commercial.
Right.
And that should be looked at.
So listen, if the argument was, should we be doing something to make sure we're not seeing any wholesale destruction of trees?
Especially by large developers.
Yeah, so somebody comes in, buys a property, denudes the property.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. I think,
and that happens.
Right, and that,
even with
that has happened and can happen, right?
Yeah.
I will point out, by the way, that there's a number of very substantial trees on the Volpe site. And when they were doing the Volpe rezoning, there was already a hint of somebody sort of being insistent that those trees shall not be touched. So I wonder to what degree is there some, you know, desire to block some things at Volpe because of the existence of some major trees.
Do they have to submit a tree plan? I saw that reference. Is that something new, a tree plan by developers, or has that always been there?
I think that's part of anything that's part of a special permit process.
Okay.
Right, because then you have to do a lot more than that, actually.
Okay.
But the thing is you know, I can so totally sympathize with this notion about having restrictions on wholesale destruction of trees and whatever by people who are just trying to make a killing or whatever.
Or just have no regard for maybe their neighbors.
Right.
Or, their, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, I was speaking with a former elected official in Cambridge over the weekend who has trees on the property.
Yeah.
That were actually planted by that individual, and they are, you know, Norway maples, and maybe the time has come where there's some, you know, rethinking about, because they're being kind of held up with cables right now, whether there's some desire to take them down. So this is for a homeowner, this is actually very consequential. So if you just decide that maybe you don't want to have certain trees in, you know, particular locations, whatever, and they might even be trees you yourself planted.
Mm-hmm. They are your trees.
They are your trees, right?
Well,
but now they're saying,
there we
like,
go with the whole.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's kind of the
cities. Yeah.
This is the philosophical dilemma we're in right now. And I think it actually goes beyond just the tree issue. It's like, you know, where do you draw the line between what my rights would be as an owner of a property and what the community, as they choose to define themselves, wants to have say-so on?
Let me just throw something out here. Okay, so the same people that say, you know, trees are important, we don't want to remove them. What about the whole affordable housing, super inclusionary, those same people don't want their neighborhood to change? Is that unrelated? Is it opposite? Or is it coming out of the same? To me, it seems like,
you know,
and I'm not saying yes or no on either one. I'm just saying.
I think the mayor actually pointed out some of the tremendous strain of hypocrisy.
Yes, he did come up with
some
good stuff.
And I, you know, by the way, the trees in the Inman Square, right, that was the subject of such controversy, are scheduled to be removed tomorrow morning.
No, really?
Four honey locusts and then the birch trees.
Even while there, I thought there was this planning board thing, petition to delay. They had to get a special permit.
Well, I think they asked the city solicitor's opinion on that, and she said, no, there's no permit required.
Oh, that's already been decided?
Yeah. So I saw the notice today. In fact, it's even posted. We haven't have it on the page here.
What?
They're scheduled to do it tomorrow. So,
is there going to be like people chained to the trees?
I don't know.
I mean,
you know, if you want to see some potential drama, maybe there'll be some.
How come I haven't? I don't see that anywhere, though. I haven't seen that in any.
It actually only came.
But I mean, I don't see it in the Cambridge list, really. But I mean, you think that everybody?
I'm going to pop to this picture here.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the.
All right.
This is the picture that.
This is what they're proposing. This isn't what
this
it looks
is
like now, right?
Change
this is
to Vellucci Plaza. So you're.
But right under now, this logo is where the.
That's where the existing Vellucci Plaza, which extends out into where they're proposing to move the street.
Okay.
And then they want to move some trees or get rid of some. They're going to basically you're going to take down the honey locusts. Two on the Cambridge Street side and two on the.
Oh, they're not taking down
Beacon
six?
Street side.
They're taking down four?
Maybe it's six.
It says four honey locusts. You're right.
All right, so
I thought there were six trees.
Well, there's also these birch trees that are in planters.
What if they propose putting full-grown trees like Harvard did? Would people be less upset?
You know, they would be, but the thing is that people need to understand that's been done and you can do it, but it's extraordinarily expensive. And
I know, but so?
Well, it's extraordinarily expensive, and also the probability that the tree will actually survive it is not
really?
So clear.
Why?
Because it's really, really disruptive. The thing is that...
Yeah, but it's already been somehow... I assume it's been nurtured somewhere before it got put there. I mean,
you're putting small trees in, you know, when they plant street trees, but there's a root ball, it's...
they don't survive so well.
But they could if...
Well, how's the Holyoke Center ones doing? When are we going to find out those don't survive?
Don't know.
There were $60,000 each, I heard.
But the thing is, if you're Harvard University and you've got really deep pockets and you want to avoid controversy, you do whatever it takes.
Right, but I'm just saying, if those prove to last, then I think you're going to have to put the money where you have to put it to solve some of these issues.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I'm just going to, not to take a position on the Inman Square matter there, but the trees there, these are not really substantial trees. They've been around a long, long time, you know. And the city's argument about that one is that, well, we're actually going to be planting many times over that number of trees.
But you know what? My issue there is not even the trees. I mean, I know people, my issue is, do they need to spend $7 million to fix something that I think is already somewhat fixed? But that's...
I agree completely with that.
So,
but, you know, there's a problem that happens sometimes with city plans where once they get down rolling, you know,
they're
once
just
the
not
train
gonna
gets
look
rolling,
back. I know.
They just don't want to derail, and they just move forward regardless.
Yeah.
So anyway, on the tree business of last night, what happened was, so it was the mayor proposed correctly. I mean, to me, it's not even any question about it. Mark proposed that, in fact, the matter of this order, the absolute moratorium, which was never had a public hearing, should be referred back to the ordinance committee so that it would have a proper hearing. And he even indicated that he might very well support the end product once it goes through there.
Right, but to have to go through the right
through
process.
The process. And you know, I think made it quite clear that there may be some mechanism for revising it too. So, I mean, my concern, and I spoke at the meeting, was that, you know, what they're doing is basically reacting to what they perceive as a terrible violation of, you know, big developers, you know, who are redoing whole big projects and whatever. But they're basically taking the response from that, and then they're applying it to everybody in the city, including a person who just owns a house and may have to make a difficult decision about whether a tree should or shouldn't go. And then they're basically saying, we're not going to allow you to make those decisions anymore. That, to me, was the part that was really offensive.
Yeah.
And the part which I would hope, if they actually process this appropriately at a properly advertised hearing, they might actually find some amendment which would allow property owners at least a little bit of discretion. Because right now, there's none. In fact, I think it was Dennis Carlone said, well, you know, if we go through this and when this ordinance is put in place here, you know, then there'll be plenty of opportunity to, you know, to sort of plead your case about the tree. To which Owen O'Riordan, Public Works Commissioner, said, Counselor, we have no such discretion under this proposal.
Interesting.
So
that's what he meant, because I heard him say that. I wasn't fully paying attention. Okay.
You know, and it was really kind of problematic for me to have some of the counselors sort of characterize the notion that you would actually have due process as somehow kicking the can down the road and being evasive because God knows we're in an emergency. You know?
Well, I think the crux of the matter, too, is that the loss of a lot of trees has to do with we're getting so big and development and commercial. And it's not so much the small property owner, but it's the... Right. People building 9-unit condos, and you're right. going to take trees down, and we're getting right. too much so, building going
So, for
on.
Example, let's just say you've lived in your house for a decade or more. Mm. Would your right to manage your property be grandfathered in, perhaps? Hmm. Would that be such a terrible thing?
That's interesting.
You know, nobody talked about that. Maybe if there had been a hearing, I would have actually spoken to that possibility.
So,
but there was no hearing.
So right now, you don't, if you want to remove a tree, you do it on your own?
You do it on your own, yeah.
You don't have to get a permit?
I'm not.
Unless you have a crane or something like that?
Yeah, right. So if you have to bring in a crane, then the city has to give a permit to allow those things to happen, yeah. So there's some sort of safeguards right now, but they're just trying to up them significantly.
I was struck by the last commenter. Do you know Rika Welsh? Do you remember her? I remember her because she was actually on the Cambridge Women's Cable. She was part of American Cable System, so we're talking the first. And she still lives in Cambridge, and she said that when she moved to Green Street she quoted the 1966, that there was trees all along the street from Putnam to, and I was thinking,
and
you've been around.
I've been around long enough, but I've also seen photos of my block on Broadway.
Yeah, Broadway.
Right in front
of
Longfellow
School. Well, they
still
have a lot of trees, though,
right?
Where
there were big, gigantic trees in front of Broadway.
So
the truth is that...
Some trees die, right?
You know, that's one of the things that I wish more people would be mindful of in this
That they
discussion.
Don't live forever?
They don't live forever. And the other thing, too, is a lot of these trees was that when they developed whole blocks, like in mid-Cambridge, and they, you know, put in all these houses in there. Mm. A lot of these tree plantings were all done on the order of 70 or more years ago. And they're, as Owen O'Riordan pointed out in another meeting, they're aging out.
Yeah.
So the fact is the fact that you're seeing a fairly sizable number of trees aging out during a relatively short period of time is in itself not that shocking.
So I wonder, in the studies that they're doing of the total loss of tree canopy, how many of those trees had reached their end? Has that been stated at all, or is it just say we have this many trees this year and we now have this? I mean, that's not looking at what the data is.
I haven't heard that. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that if we're talking about street trees, and if you look at old photos, you can see some magnificent elm trees, a lot more elm trees, too.
And they died from
another reason.
Right.
You know, on the East Street around the corner from my house, we had this incredible elm, you know. It died, and then a snowstorm, the April 1st snowstorm some years ago, pretty much killed it off completely.
Wasn't Cambridge just a few years ago? I mean, when Mary Vise, you know, was alive, we were like the tree city.
Yeah.
We had more trees. I mean, has it changed that much compared to other cities across the country?
Less. I think it's still not too
bad. Well, less. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just... It's obviously...
But I think we also pointed out in the previous week that, you know, provisions of the Americans with Disabilities Act actually caused a ceiling over of sidewalk areas so that water can't infiltrate as well.
Interesting.
It's a tough life for street trees because the law basically makes it a tough life.
And you have some competing, you know, necessary... groups that want things.
Now, I would be much happier if basically this discussion could turn a little bit and focus more on replanting of trees and doing a really a long-standing campaign of doing this over a period, not of a year or two, but basically a commitment for the next 20 years to be sort of revitalizing the trees and planting them correctly in ways where they actually have a chance of surviving.
I mean, wasn't that one of the budget things that got passed about planting trees? Was it 200?
Well, you know, that's right. So they're talking about planting trees. But the thing is that, you know, that's sort of a one-off, right?
I thought we have a plan every year to plant trees.
We do plant a certain number of trees every year. And I think maybe it's a good argument can be made that in a thoughtful way, that this should be made sort of ramped up as a permanent fixture, as opposed to tying people's hands a little too unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think anybody, property owners alike, would object to some restrictions or
no, especially when
protocols.
They see their neighbor just their whole thing. All of a sudden, they see the street and everything because they took them down and paved it.
But that's
understandable.
They seem to be wanting to go beyond that. These things.
Yeah.
By the way, just the outcome of that vote. The proposal from the mayor was to simply refer it to the ordinance committee to get a proper hearing, and then it would come back to the council.
And that's what got passed, right?
And that was passed 5-4.
Yep.
Right? So it was Zondervan, Devereaux, Carlone, and Siddiqui were the four who didn't want to have due process.
You know?
I mean, I'm sorry to put it that way, but that's the way I see it.
I was surprised at Symbol's vote for some reason.
I was a little surprised too.
Yeah,
she seemed to waver a little bit.
I know. There was
a
pause there.
She at least understands that there's an issue.
Yeah, and also I think her position with, she's kind of not lumped, but she's put with sort of
Carlone.
But also, you know,
she's violated that before. So she's
violated. Don't use that word, but you know.
But she does stand.
I know.
I was a little surprised. Yeah. So anyway, so that was it, and where it goes from there, I don't know. I imagine that it's not like this is sort of a lobby of people right now, and I think that they're not going to run away.
And
I have to say, because I've been interacting with some of them even today as well, trying to just sort of get kind of a reasonable conversation.
Where were you interacting with them today?
Facebook.
Oh. Right?
Well, the funny thing is, it's like, they had a big hearing on this, how big is big thing a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
How was that advertised? Facebook. As if the only
But you know who only goes to
Facebook
are people over 40 or 50, because my daughter, it's Instagram now, my daughter doesn't even go to Facebook anymore.
Yeah, that's true, but the thing is I go where I see them,
so if that's
where they are, I'll interact with them,
and
we'll see where it goes, right? But anyway, it was kind of interesting, and I think in some respects, unfortunate that an entire council meeting gets absorbed by this one issue.
But that's par for the course. There's certain bikes can absorb
them. I know. So it's either going to be bikes or trees, right?
Is
this how the whole year
way.
Is going to play out?
Baby boomers versus millennials. No.
That's right. Intergenerational warfare. You betcha. There we
All
go.
Right.
Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Insider.